Chof Tes 7, Friday the 27th of June, Dr. Sholem Springer, May Maribo.
Thank you very much. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, everybody. So our theme this morning, as announced, is some thoughts on May Maribo. And it's a subject that's much talked about. In fact, if you have a look at the Shari Aaron, which is the compendium of all the Mefarshim that he could get together, you'll see that no less than 25 Pshatim are brought there. And I actually had a quick look last night at all of them, because I was trying to look for a particular theme, which, if I've got time for, I'll tell you at the end of what I have to say. But 25 Pshatim, and that means that the Mefarshim have been struggling with this particular event, and they have found difficulty in explaining what the actual Avera was, what was wrong, what was done wrong, what was said wrong, or in fact not said. So let's just do some of the psukim, the ones that are germane to our subject. So it says in the Sedra, capital Kaf, posuk Beis, Lo yehoyo mayim lo eido, vayikolo al Moshe v'al Aaron. The psukim go on to say that they did much more than that. All right, they didn't just gather around Moshe and Aaron, by Yorev Ha'om, and there are a few psukim which tells us that in fact they complained quite bitterly, Lo Meher Lisonu Mi Mitzrayim. So, Vayobai Moshe V'Aaron M'Bnei HaKol, Bel Pesach Ha'el Moed, V'Yiplu Al Peneihem, V'Yeiro Kvoid Hashem Aleihem. So that's the prelude to what's going to happen with the story of the May Meribah. So the Rabbi Nisham tells Moshe, Kachas amate v'hakeles v'eida ato v'aron ochicha v'dibartem el asela le'inehem. You shall speak to the rock, and everybody knows Rashi's pshat that the main command here was that Moshe should speak to the rock, and the rock will then give up its waters. V'yichak Moshe samate v'nei Hashem kashit zivo v'yikil Moshe v'aron kol el p'nei asela v'yoyim alehem shimu no hamoirim hamin asela hazeh noitzi lechem mayim. So he uses the word Shimu no Hamoirim. So the Netziv, which is one of the Pshatim that is brought in the Shari Aaron, there are two particular articles, particular essays that are given to us by the Netziv. One is in the Hamad Dover and the actual Chumash, and the other one is on his Pirish on the Sifrei. Now this actually in the Shari Aaron is brought as number 19. So, you know, there is a lot of material to go through. So he starts off with the Dibartim El Asela, Shanei Olav Perik Echad Oy Halocha Achas. So speak to the rock. What should you say to the rock? Not common chat or chit chat or anything like that. Shanei Olav Perik Echad Oy Halocha Achas. Tell the rock, speak about Divrei Torah, learn with them a Perik or a Halocha, V'yotzi Lechem Mayim. And the rock will give up its water. Voinian, says the Netziv. Now what's going on here is as follows. Devadai ma shayach dibo el asela, shiyishma v'yaseh kashin its tavo. You can speak to a rock, Miss Ibermorgan, and the rock will not do anything. A rock is a rock. So here we want a sort of extended type of dibur. We want an elevated type of dibur, such that there is something special that's going on. Now, what Moshe was asked is as follows. Of course, we come, and this is the context of our story, that there is a shortage of water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to use this as an opportunity to do something other than just deliver them their demands. So the Rabbi Nishalanim wants something else to happen. And the opportunity that the Rabbi Nishalanim takes is that when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about a Devar Halacha, then what he's going to do, he's going to recreate a special circumstance that happened to Klal Yisrael time past, and that special circumstance is going to create other circumstances which happened then. What is the circumstance I'm talking about? And the answer, says the Netziv, is that HaKavono Shiyadav Elov Halacha Berura Kamoshin Nitno B'Sinai. I want you to recreate the atmosphere. I want you to recreate the event in similar form that we had at Har Sinai. And that is the idea here, that the Rabbi Nishalom wanted not just to deliver the water, but also to show something else. And therefore, the Hashiros Hashchina will happen, B'dalad Amas Shel Halacha, K'moy Shehoyo B'Matan Torah, just as it was at Matan Torah. And this is an important event. Matan Torah is the most important event. And if we can recreate it in other circumstances, then we get the benefits that we had at Matan Torah. And of course, it's something that, for us, is a renewal each time we manage to create it. And talking in halacha, saying something clearly about Torah, recreates that situation. V'gamoz horim nozlu b'bnei Hashem. And there too, we are told that the mountains, nozlu, they flowed with water, and all sorts of nature changed its course in various ways. And that's what you can do with saying a halacha brura. When they were talking Torah, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, the fire surrounded them. And we're not going to make any distinction between fire and water. These are matters of nature which can change and which come as a result of learning a halacha brura, of learning Torah. So, what the Netziv is telling us is that if we can recreate the situation at Matan Torah, in other words, bring ourselves to a special spiritual level, then nature becomes the servant. Rather than nature in a dominant position, when Torah abounds, when Torah is the entity that's being spoken about, when Torah is being discussed, then nature follows whatever is required. The Koyach HaTorah, if learnt in a special way, creates something which is very special. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted this to be an opportunity for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Klal Yisrael what happens when you learn Torah, then nature itself turns into something quite different. A rock, a dry rock, will deliver water. And we know that Chazal tell us, and we have all the psukim, that at Matan Torah, they had Eish, they had Mayim and Midbar. Well, we know about the Eish, that's described in the Pasuk. Chazal tell us that there was Mayim flowing as well, and Midbar, of course. And therefore, to teach Klal Yisrael that they are capable of recreating Matan Torah and that sort of spirit of Matan Torah is a very important lesson, which of course Moshe Rabbeinu missed out on. So the idea was that not just to satisfy the demand, which Rabbeinu Shem can do, and the Rabbeinu Shem has shown this on so many occasions, that the Eden ask for something, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam satisfies that demand. But here we have an opportunity to do something else and to have another lesson, the lesson of Matan Torah, and to recreate that spirit, and therefore you'll show that nature is subservient to the higher orders. Now, furthermore, says the Netziv, there's something else that's important here and going on with the same theme that we've talked about, suspending nature. Suspending nature, when Moshe Rabbeinu delivers this halacha and talks about Torah, but there's another aspect. Because in our mind's eye, and in our minds, we always have the idea, where is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, in special places. That's where the Shekhinah is. Outside of there, of course, there's the Ribbono Shel Olam everywhere, but the concentration of Shekhinah is in these special places. Here we are in the middle of a desert. Okay, we're surrounded by dry rocks all over the place. And the idea is that the Shekhinah, yes, is in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a Mishkan when we have that. But Moshe Rabbeinu now had the opportunity to show Klal Yisrael that you can bring the Shekhinah to wherever you are. In any situation that you are, if you start learning Torah in the right way, Shema, and all the rest of the things that you need for real Torah in a special way, that you can bring the Shekhinah to come to the place that you are. And where there is Hashras HaShekhinah, then of course you get those effects that we have talked about. So Matan Torah, while being a sort of one-off event, in a sense a unique event, we are told that Matan Torah goes on all the time. And therefore we can create the conditions of Matan Torah wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we are. So we can reconnect to that, and when we reconnect to the ideas of Matan Torah, and that can be done anywhere, doesn't have to be dafki in the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't have to be dafki in the Mishkan, it can be anywhere where even talking to a rock means that this situation is recreated. That's why the Gemara says, Mishachorvo Beis HaMikdash Ein loy la kodesh baruch hu ela dalat amos shel alocha bilvad. So when we haven't got a base of mikdash, so you might say, well, I don't have access to the Shekhinah anymore, says the Gemara, that you couldn't be more wrong. That, ishchor beis hamikdash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place is now with the Dalad Amos Shel Halacha. You're learning Torah, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. And that could be done at any time, any place. So nature would have to be suspended under those circumstances, just like it was at Har Sinai. So had Moshe Rabbeinu carried out the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to the rock with the Medrash's gloss on it, which is to say, Shanei Alav, tell the rock, Halacha Echad, then of course the Shem Shemayim would have been Miskaddish, then the Rabbeinu Shalom's name would have been sanctified, and they would have learnt those lessons that we have. And the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu failed to demonstrate that lesson because, say Al Chachomim, because of anger. Because he got angry at that particular moment, and therefore he could not say the halacha, he could not speak Torah in the right way, in the Sinai way, and therefore the effects did not happen. Therefore he missed out on having that effect happening. So nature was not suspended by words of Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak the Torah, because he couldn't speak the Torah at that moment, because he was angry, and the Torah therefore in that form eluded him. He ends up with another piece, and I've missed some bits out, and that's why Ne'enash Aaron. And that's why Aaron was punished as well, because even though Aaron kept silent because of the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu, he should have understood that he should step in. Aaron wasn't angry, and therefore he could have said the piece of Torah that would have done what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and the fact that he kept silent. Out of respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not allowed to be Moira Halacha b'pnei Rabboi. Nevertheless, in a situation where the Rabboi is not able to function, then the Talmid can step in. So that is one offering that I give you of one of the Pshotim of Mei Merivah, and that's from the Nitziv. There are others, and I'd like to continue with another one, which is of similar theme. As I said before, we could have chosen more than 25 different themes, and what I've done is choose two or three which are connected together. So, there is a Ramban, and the Ramban explains that what was happening in the Mei Merivah is exactly what the Rambam explains in Moreh Nevuchim. The Ramban says, as we've already mentioned, that the Avera of Moshe Rabbeinu was his Ragzonus. He allowed himself to get angry when he said Shimon HaMoirim, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was makpid that here his anger is inappropriate. This is not the time, not the place to get angry. If ever there is a time and place to get angry, this is certainly not the place to get angry. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was makpid, and therefore he was denied certain things. But it's special here, because when Moshe Rabbeinu, this exalted personality, talking to the Yidden, who are also an exalted nation, and he talks to them in the form that they understand that he is angry, that creates a Chilul Hashem. So it's a special circumstance where we now have Chilul Hashem. And Chilul Hashem is the means by which one loses everything. Chilul Hashem, one is guilty, when it's bemazed, of course, but even b'shoigeg. Chilul Hashem has a very special status. So it's inappropriate to talk to an entire people from a stage of anger. That's not right for Moshe Rabbeinu to have done that. Remember that we're talking about this very special nation. A nation where we are told that the Nevius was given to each and every one of them. Ro Shivcha Alayom, Mashaloi Roi Chestel Ben Buzi. That the lowliest Shivcha was given the gift of Nevuah, which was at a greater level than the great Yecheskel. So we're talking not about some sort of hoi polloi, some sort of common people. We're talking about an elevated people. So Moshe Rabbeinu should not have spoken to them in anger. But there's another twist to it. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who is looked up to. Moshe Rabbeinu is the exemplar of the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Oved Hashem, the Eved Hashem. This is Moshe Rabbeinu.
And of course, such a people that is striving for greatness is going to look at Moshe Rabbeinu as a very special person, a person who you emulate, a person who you watch. And Moshe Rabbeinu's every move was watched by Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, if they see Moshe Rabbeinu getting angry, then what will they think? And we know Moshe Rabbeinu as a person of great midas, very elevated midas, a man who reached almost the highest madrega that a person, that a human can reach. And they know Moshe Rabbeinu would not display anger on the basis of a lapse in midas. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not the Moshe Rabbeinu we know. We know him as a man who strives for Kedusha, Pe'al Pe'al, David Boy speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a person, just like a person speaks to his Chava, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, he has a special station. This is not a man that's going to sort of lose his nerve and become angry because of a lapse in midas. Therefore, the reasoning would go as follows. If Moshe Rabbeinu is getting angry, that means that it's not Moshe Rabbeinu who's getting angry, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom who's angry. Because Moshe Rabbeinu always only reflects what the Rabbeinu Shalom is doing or saying. He's just a reflection. Hashchina medaberes mitoy groinoi shel Moshe. The Shchina speaks from the throat of Moshe. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist as a persona when he's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu completely disappears. And he only reflects what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants to say. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is getting angry, that must be because the Rabbeinu Shalom is angry. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing and saying something which is not quite true. And therefore, that has created a situation that is not correct. And in fact, the way the Rabbeinu Shalom describes it, a little later on, it's in Parsha Chafzayin, further on, he says, when talking about Me Meriva, I'm referring to it again, Kashe merisem pi b'midbar tzin b'meriva so'ede lakdishei b'mayim le'inehem. He talks about something called that Kashe merisem pi, which we normally translate as you have rebelled against my mouth. Yeah, merisem pi. But not so. The Ramban goes on to say, must remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we just described is Moshe Rabbeinu doing something which is not representing the Rabbeinu Shalom properly. He is representing the Rabbeinu Shalom as angry with the Jewish people. There's no evidence of that at all. It doesn't say anywhere in the Psukim surrounding the Maaseh of Me Meriva that the Rabbeinu Shalom was angry. They demanded water after the disappearance of the Be'er Miriam. Now they needed water. Maybe they did it, you know, in a sort of unseemly manner. But there is no evidence and there are no Psukim to reflect the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom was angry. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry, and therefore they are led to believe that therefore the Rabbeinu Shalom is angry, that is Merisim SP. In other words, Merisim SP doesn't mean that you are rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you are misrepresenting my mouth. That's what you're doing. You're saying something to imply, or that does imply, that I am of a certain state of mind, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, but I'm not. That is Merisim SP. So, we have this idea of misrepresentation, which is so important that Moshe Rabbeinu represents the Rabbeinu Shalom absolutely perfectly on each occasion that he speaks, in each occasion that he acts. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu does is very important. There's a story about Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He's sitting at a simcha, obviously a milchika simcha, and there are two cartons of milk in front of him. Somebody brings him a black coffee, and he picks one of them out and puts it down again. They're two different hechsherim, actually. Two different hechsherim. He picks one of them out and puts it down again. Picks the other one up and pours some milk into his coffee. And everybody's looking at Moshe Feinstein. He's after all the God Lador. And they're wondering, well, what's wrong with that hechsher? And they go up to him afterwards. What's wrong with the hechsher? He says, nothing wrong. It was empty. The carton was empty. That's all, you know, we're looking at a godel. You know, with the eyes of every single move that he does, he brings in the wrong place. We ready to make all sorts of deductions. Story about Briskarov that I once heard, which is very instructive in this way. And a delegation, there was an argument in a certain town. And a delegation went to visit the Briskarov to ask him which side of the argument, you know, should be supported. And he listened to the argument. At the end of it, he said, Ich will sich nicht mischen. Yeah, maybe he said it in Litvish Yiddish. Ich will sich nicht mischen. I don't want to interfere. I'm not giving a view. So the delegation said, Shalom. And they walked out. And he called them back. And he said to them, you should tell them, back at base, back in your town, as the Brisgorov have gornish gesagt. That's the message. Because you know what happens. Yeah, he nodded this way, he nodded that way, he was nodding when I was saying that bit, and I'll come back, well actually the Brisgorov was on this side, that side. The Brisgorov had gornish gesagt. And it was eternally important that our Gedolim, up there, yeah, Havdilei Gedolos, the Rabbeinu Shalom should never be misrepresented. And what Moshe Rabbeinu did on this occasion, to Maurice MP, you misrepresented me. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu misrepresenting our Kol Torah has tremendous implications, as we shall see in the next piece, piece after the next piece. A credit here to Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, who brings a piece in his shir, it's quoted by Rav Avraham Gurevitz Shlita, in the name of his grandfather, Eli Lapian, Zatzal. When the Rabbeinu Shalom says, V'dibata mila sela, it doesn't mean casual talk, as we've already heard. He describes it as divrei nevuah. Say something which is divrei nevuah. And the fact is, when a person gets angry, nevuah deserts you. So at that moment when Moshe Rabbeinu was angry and maybe wanted to speak to the mountain, to the rock, his nevuah deserted him. That's what happens when a person gets angry, because I'll say, nevuah deserts you, chachma deserts you, okay? We don't have the gifts that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us. And, of course, his dibur would have helped had he had his nevuah, but anger has a tremendous effect. I want to bring you something from a very unlikely place, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it al aposuk, but in connection with Matan Torah, he says the following. In the story of Matan Torah, we have this famous pasuk, Moshe Olo Elo Lakim, Vayikra Elo Vashemina Ha Leimaya, Koisoyim Ala Beis Yaakov, the Sagan Divnei Yisrael, we all know the Rashi, Beis Yaakov, women, and the other is the men. That's not what I want to bring out. On these words, Koisoyma, Rashi makes a comment. Now, what's happening here, the context is that Moshe Rabbeinu is being instructed to carry a message to Klal Yisrael. Message just three psukim. Carry a message to Klal Yisrael basically is, will they take my Torah? To which they said, Nasa v'nishma. That's the context of this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you a message which I want you to carry to the Bnei Yisrael. Says Rashi, Koisoima means, Beloshen hazeh uchaseda hazeh. I want you to say it just like this, with these words, Loshen hazeh, seda hazeh, I don't want you to change it, ki huzeh. Then there's a message which, if I read it, I'll read it very quickly, that is basically history of Esra Eskim, Alkan, Venishorim, Batrim, Shemai, Tishmu, etc. Vimtiyulim, Amlechas, Koyanim, Goy Kodosh. That's the message. 2.5 psukim. Says the Rabbeinu Shalom, after delivering the message to Moshe Rabbeinu, what he's to carry, he says, Eile hadvorim asher tedaber el bnei Yisrael. These are the words, and Rashi says once again, Eile hadvorim loy pochois v'lo yoseh. So it appears that the Rabbeinu Shalom is very keen and very insistent that Moshe Rabbeinu should say this and nothing else. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asked the Kasha, why is the Rabbeinu Shalom so particular? Twice, Rashi points out, the beginning of the message, the end of the message, only say this and nothing else. Very particular. Now he gives two terutzim. One teretz, the first teretz, is relevant to Matan Torah, so we will leave that out. The second teretz is exactly ties in with what we've been talking about so beautifully. He says the following, that the Rabbeinu Shalom had to be sure that his words were always going to be not only represented properly, but delivered without any change whatsoever. Now, you can understand that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's ambition that Klal Yisrael should take the Torah. And of course, he might want to add a few words of his own to encourage them a little bit. And so the Rabbeinu Shalom says that when you deliver this message, it's got to be done exactly like this. No words added, no words taken away, not in a different order for emphasis or whatever, exactly like it is. Why is that so important? I remember when I arrived in Yeshiva, in Manchester Yeshiva, as a 16-year-old, I'd come to school, I'd learned a little bit of Gemara by then, but not really. I remember they happened to be learning Yevamos. Now, anybody who's learned Yevamos, the opening Perek Yevamos, there's a word in the Torah, Olecha, Olecha Chayel. And we were learning this Gemara. And the Gemara goes on for page after page after page, kasha, teretz, backwards, forwards, about this word. And as a youngster, I said, what's all the fuss about? So it's written this way, so it's written out. Does it really matter? Of course, later on, one understands that the Torah and everything that is based on the Torah, all are halachas. How do you know there are 39 halachas? Because we learn it from the Mishkan, etc., etc., etc. Evolve. That is there, and evolve that's not there. Every single item, entity of the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva used to darshan the tagim. He used to darshan the tagim even. So we know that everything, Torah Hashem Tamima, Tamima means Tamima. Absolutely perfect. And so if you see something out of place, a word too much, a word too little, the wrong word, in inverted commas, we see anything, we know that if we dig in there, if we mine that word, there is information down there. That's how it all works. I won't say house of cards, but that's a good marshal. Everything is built in a tapestry, in a connected form that will require every word to be absolutely accurate. So, Baruch says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when you deliver this message, make sure it's the words that I use and not the words that you use, even as great as you are. If there's any hint that a human being has been involved in Torah in any shape or form at all, then of course all the limudim that we've learned in the Gemara, the whole of Shas, become a little bit, chas v'shalom, not so valid because a human being has been involved. Because a human being doesn't do anything which is tamima, perfect. You know, we're stylistic, we use this word, we use that word. It only works if the Torah remains absolutely and unambiguously divine. That's when it works. And so much of it. So therefore, this is, well, we've got an example. So what Rav Yaakov says, this is the point here. Moshe Rabbeinu, you misrepresented me. You said something which is not quite my words. And that means there is an involvement here of man in the Torah. And that is why, he explains, the punishment is so severe. That's one of the kashas that all the Mephoshim ask. Okay, so he stepped out of line, but you've got to stop him coming to Eretz Yisrael. The punishment is so severe. The answer is that we depend on this whole idea of the Torah being divine, remaining divine, and unambiguously so, indisputably so. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you step out of line by a chut asara, and the punishment is enormous because to emphasize the importance of this point, of this idea, is terribly important. That's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's second teretz on this pasuk in Yisro. I want to add something else. One more, I say, pshat. It wasn't said, let's just say it was said by Chochem Echad. I like it very much, but I can't authenticate it. And that was one of the reasons why I looked at all the pshatim yesterday through the Shari Aaron, so I thought I might find some Mephoresh that actually says this. It's very nice, so I can't authenticate it, take it or leave it. And what this Chochem Echad said was as follows. That if you think about what the Ribbono Shel Olam represents, the Ribbono Shel Olam is as far away from a human being as one can imagine. Human beings, you know, what we do is repetitive. We do the same thing all the time, more or less, with various tiny variations. But the Ribbono Shel Olam represents Chidush. He is always Chidush. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not repeat it. So therefore, it's a double poshet that we read in B'Shalach, similar situation. In B'Shalach, Vayorev, Ha'om, in Moshe, and here we have a situation where there's no water. Yeah, it's history repeating itself. And this was about water. Tenu lo mayim v'nishter, let's drink water. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam say on that occasion in B'Shalach? Ribbono Shel Olam says, so, Vayitzmar Shom Ha'om L'mayim, they were thirsting after water. Vayolen Ha'om, they complain again. Vayitzak Moshe El Hashem Leimai Moes El Ha'om Hazeh Oid Ma'atas Kuluni. You know, I'm in great trouble here. You know, they're going to stone me. Vayoyimah Hashem El Moshe Avoy Lifnei Ha'om B'kach Itcho Mezikni Yisrael U'matcha Asher Hikisa Voyes Ha'ya'oya Kach Biyotcha V'olochta Hinni Oymid Lefenecha Shom Al Atzur V'choy V'hikisa Atzur. Smite the rock. So in B'Shalach, maybe it's a sort of forgotten parasha. In B'Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to strike the rock. If therefore now, later on in their history, they're again thirsting for water, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says again, strike the rock, that means that's a case of the Ribbono Shel Olam repeating himself. That's a Chilul Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not repeat himself. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Chiddush. So this time I want you to speak to the rock. And therefore, Gavur Poshut, I think, a very nice pshat. It's not one of the great Mephoreshim. It was said by somebody. I liked it very much, so I thought I would convey it as an interesting idea. I wish you all a very good chance.